D. Cropper Sr., who has been a member of the Volunteer Fire Department in Leonardtown, Maryland, since 1928. I'm sorry if you can't say that. So go ahead, Pop, and you can start talking about some of the things that started out when you first got there. And let's tell it. When you first got there, how come you joined up?
Well, before we start, I think I would like to give the names of the 11 men that were charter members, and 10 of them have answered their last call. So I will start with Henry Camilleri, Dale Cropper, Louis Edwards, Frank Scrivener, John Sterling, William Conley, Roland Duke, Frank Guy, Barney Smith, Edward Sterling, and Morris Swift, all except one, has answered their last call. They were men what couldn't do one thing, did another. But they were dedicated men that when that siren went off, they had to be a long ways that didn't answer. But I can't
think. How old were these men when you all joined?
In the 20,
back, what, 21, 22, 23, 24?
The boys, I guess, at that time were running anywhere from 20 to 21 to 30.
How old were you?
35. I was 21.
And you'd just come over to work at...
I had just come over from Eastern Shore.
And you'd been a member of the fire department over there.
Yes, I was a member of the fire department in a little town over there called Berlin. And when I first joined, I probably was one of the first one to ever go up on the tower at the University of Maryland to get my training.
Did you start... one thing I want to get in here, did you remember when the horses were running for a fire full of steamers?
That was over there. That wasn't here.
Yeah.
I would like to keep it in right here in St. Mary's County. Now, where we got together, there was a frame building owned by Roland Duke on the corner, and across from him was Mr. Harry Jones' store. Every town that I've ever been in had a gathering place where men would get together. He had a soda fountain and this, that, and the other there. And we would gather there most every night or evening. And that's how it was brought up about a fire department. And one thing led on to the other. As nights grew by, we kept bringing it up. So that's really where the conversation started about starting this company. Well, the first meeting that we had was at where I was boarding was Miss Nettie Morgan's home. She had a very big living room. So I asked Roland if he could get 15 men, 12 to 15 men, and bring them over there, and we'd start a fire department. And he said, any time. And I went and asked Miss Nettie, could we use it? And she gave permission. And on a given night, we met. And that's where the fire department really got started as of that time. We didn't make the 15, but we did make, as a joke, the Dirty Dozen. But one man, we had, I guess, good luck, was McNay. He was out, it started at the door, and his wife says, you better take me to the hospital. So he took her to the hospital, and he never made the meeting, and had a baby girl.
And this was 1928?
And this was in 1928.
It was winter or summer? Remember?
No. It was the nighttime. It was at the nighttime that this fracas started. Now, in back of the hotel which Captain Lomax ran, there was a livery stable. Not too long before I was over here, that they had horses staying there that come stay overnight or something. So they told me. But anyhow, one stall back there has a resemblance of a fire engine. It was an old Ford, wooden spokes and all. And it was a chemical outfit. It had two tanks on it, about two 40-gallon tanks. And everything was chemical. There wasn't any pumps. There wasn't anything on there. And it had a hose body. And that was about the size of what that fire engine was, it looked like. Anyhow, we talked about it and got things going pretty good. And we were getting together and began to figure on what we could get. Well, not having a nickel or a dime, there was no way to go out and buy an engine, even a second-handed one, so we could get hold of some money. So, in those days, there was a lot of liquor running. And there was a man, supposed to be the fastest and the hardest driver that had ever been known. His name was Steve Murphy. And he was coming north, hell-bent for election, down up Laundry Hill, and he made the turn between the two stores. And when you try to level off, well, that's where he didn't make it. He either hit a tree or a telephone pole, and I don't remember for sure which it was. Anyhow, he tore up the back of that thing and totaled it so bad that it wasn't worth repair. And it was just a touring. All those liquor runners used touring cars. Well, some of the boys had a dream and wondered if we could take that truck back body off, cut it in two, and hook it onto that Cadillac, because it didn't hurt the engine in the Cadillac at all. So, it was a man in Leonardtown that had a shop, and his name was Barney Smith, and he was good with a welding torch and cutting torches. So we moved him around in back of his shop, and that's where we had spare time. Everybody go around there that could, and everybody could do a little something and help. And we welded those two, the front to the back.
Cadillac to the front.
Yeah. Cadillac to the back of the old chemical truck. And put the chemical then in back of the driver of the Cadillac. Well, by and by it commenced to make shape and look like something. So there is where we started and how it got started to build that old Cadillac that was used for until we managed to get a better piece of equipment. Now, we had the truck, and no one has ever been in prior than 11 men, or 12 by this time, but Mac had come in afterwards.
Yeah.
Now we had no place to put it. But Mr. Clem Mattingly, who was the undertaker at that time, had a house or a shed that he used to keep his horse-drawn hearse in.
Is this Clark Mattingly's father? Or
yeah. What? And after that, he took it out or was done something with it. It was empty. So we put Miss Cadillac in there. But it was so small that it had to run it out so the men could get on it. Well, by that time, that company was all fired up. And it started out to make some money. Which I will explain a little bit later on how it was done. But anyhow, they decided they were going to try to borrow enough money to build a firehouse of their own. So they went across the street and they bought a tin shed that would hold the truck and give us some more room. And it was heated by a stove, wood stove. And that's where they had our second firehouse. Well, we stayed in that quite a while. And I think probably the proudest we ever was when Frank Guy, who was a painter and a printer, printed a big sign, go clear across that top of that doors, Lentona Volunteer Fire Department. We had a big turnout for that. Frank. Well, we stayed there for quite a while. And as the time went by, we kept thinking all the time about another fire engine. Any of us who went to Washington would go find a firehouse to go look at the equipment they had. And going back and tell everybody else what they saw and all, the name of the truck and what it could do and so forth. Well, we kept on till bump by. We tried to figure out some way that we could get another one. And that ended up, why we needed it was this reason. We had hose on the back of this Cadillac, and then Leonardtown had all the profits. They had, a little while before, had put in the water mains, about a year or two ahead of that. And we had hose, and we could hook up to the water mains and take care of Leonardtown real well, which we had a number of fires, chimney fires mostly, because those days, the chimneys were made out of one thick brick, and they get on fire. And, of course, a lot of the buildings had wood shingles. But anyhow, we decided we had to do something that we could get a fire engine that would pump water. Because St. Mary's County, when we had something, a supper or something, it wasn't the people just in Leonardtown that donated it, and they was people in the county. But we weren't much good to them except for those chemical tanks, which did a beautiful job for what they were cut out to do. Well, we kept on going, kept on talking. So one day we went to the banks and talked to people and just sat in the other, who could help us. But by that time, we had advertised enough with what we'd been doing that they were willing to help us. Well, we had one thing to do, and I never did understand because I never had a two nickels rub against the other. But each one of us had to sign this, I guess you would call it, a note. So they said they would back us up to get this fire engine.
Do you remember what bank that was?
So, no, I don't remember what bank that was. This had been 50-some years ago.
Yeah.
And I was hoping, we were all hoping, that we could get the right engine, which none of us knew too much about. But at that time, Washington had a lot of Seagraves. Well, they decided they'd look into that Seagrave. So they got wrote to the company. Next thing you know, before the sunset, pretty near, a man by the name of Cotton come down there and had a meeting with us. And a whole lot of pictures for us to drool over. And he sold a bill of goods there to us, and we kind of liked it. Well, he might have never stayed there. But it was so much money, I think it better scared the pants off and all of us. But we kept on thinking about it, and every meeting, and around the corners, and Deuce Corners, and everywhere else that we get together, and decided we were going to take a shot at it. So we put the order in. In due time, it arrived. And for about 2 days, I think, all hell broke loose with that bunch of firemen. They couldn't stay home, and they just had to get around with that thing. Well, we were very proud of it, but now then to make the money to pay for it.
Do you remember what size pumper that was?
500-gallon pumper.
Yeah.
And it was a good one. And it seemed like we just had to get out, though, and get some money to pay for that blessed thing, which I will talk about a little later how we did it.
Is this the same old Seagrave they have there today?
No, that Seagrave unfortunately got loose, and it was a man bought it on the farm to pump water out of the spring, and it just went down and law and was destroyed. Which, if we had it today, I don't think there's enough money in the United States to buy it. But anyhow, that's afterthought, and it's done. Well, you know,
hey, sorry.
You know, all work, and let's do a little bit of play. Things go dull. But that bunch of boys wouldn't They weren't about to let that happen. But one time we were having too big a party in the firehouse. One evening after shining brass on that old Cadillac and cleaning up. And
in the secret.
We had that thing painted till it looked like a new one. We kept it shining.
You're talking about the Cadillac now?
Yes, I'm talking about the Cadillac.
Okay.
That was before we had new one. Well, the next meeting night, the law and regulation was made. No whiskey under any condition ever be brought in that firehouse again. And as far as I know, there never has been. Well, that didn't dampen our spirits too much. Going south from Leonardtown, there was a man on the right-hand side that had a store. And just before you get to him, on the left-hand side was a spring. On the left-hand side was a beautiful spring. It come out from underneath the road. That was ice water, mighty near. And when we wanted to go down there, we would go down there sometimes on maybe Saturday evening or Sunday or any other day, that one evening after drill. And we'd sit down there, and so we could, we still had a little bit of fun, even though the law said no more. Now we had another problem. On the front of this old Ford, there was a hand-cranked siren.
You mean a Cadillac and a Ford combined?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a siren. Well, that was put on the Cadillac up front, right in front of the man that rode what we call shotgun.
Right.
Now then, there was a man that had a bad accident when he was a young man, and he lost his left arm. His name was Ned Sterling. But he could do as much with that right one as I think sometimes we do with two. But anyhow, he always cranked that thing. If he was anywhere around, which most time he was, he would stand up there somehow with one arm and crank that thing going down the road as fast as that Cadillac could go. And believe it or not, that was a strong siren. Well, now we had to have something, though, in the town that we could hear at least to Leonard Hall, because some of our farmmen lived a good way, some ways away. Well, somehow or other we managed to find a siren, and in the middle of this town there was two parks, and it still is, but at Lower Park, at the upper park, there was a water tower for a windmill tower. And under that was a well, a dug well. It carried right much water. And that pump water, where the horses were used, that pump water to a trough where people, they could get water or get water for their animals. And especially on stud horse day, when the park would be covered up with horses, they had a place to water them. Well, we got one and mounted it. But then we had another problem. The telephone operators, they couldn't turn that thing on. There was no way she could turn it on except and get it turned on, which she would call a fireman close by. And he would practically no clothes on, running like a scared rabbit, and turn that thing on.
And it was on a water tower?
It was on a water tower. They had took a, no, they was wired with electricity. And it, he would blow that siren, and then the men, of course, would go to the fires. Well, that worked out pretty good, too. But I'd like to tell a little story about that siren and the company at that time. There was a young man, he got, I don't know, he must have one stirrup trouble or somewhere or other, I don't know. But anyhow, the siren went off, and we boys, some of us were in the fires. Well, she said that there was a man up there annoying them.
Yeah, this is the telephone operator.
The telephone operator.
Right.
Well, we got together, went around there, of course, went upstairs, see what trouble was. That man opened up a window and jumped out and landed on the roof. That was the second story where the operators were. And landed on the roof, what used to be the old A&P store. And just as he hit the roof fire, another fireman lit the roof right on top of him. And the police come around, the old sheriff come around and picked him up and gave him a good lecture because he really was a pretty well-known person. But that was just one of the stories that it wasn't always fighting fire. Now then, we were getting in to the point where it was needed to make some money. And I don't mean pennies. We had to make some money to pay for that truck, new truck. So we got together and figured out a way of having an open-air carnival. So we decided... Beg your pardon?
Had you had dinners before this? Stuff like that? Had you had dinners before this?
Well, we had small dinners somewhere, but not any...
But you had to have
but not any... We weren't making any... Big enough money.
Yeah.
So we decided to have a carnival out in that park. Wait a minute, I'm ahead of my game now. Yes, we decided to have carnivals. But in St. Mary's County, there was an awful lot of what we call either community or church halls. Every district had one from one to two. So we decided that we'd run a dance or two here, there, and everywhere. And then we'd have some, maybe, I don't remember whether we had bingo or not, but it seems to me we did towards the last. Anyhow, we started making a little bit of money there, enough to pay off or do ever so often on the truck. But we weren't getting the upkeep, and I mean, and the things that we wanted, we had to make more money than that. So we kept on though for a while with what we had, and I remember Chaptico happened to be one good place for a carnival, that and the Ridge, and there were three of those things at the buildings. At Ridge, one was owned by the Oddfellows, another was owned by the at Pearson. No, that wouldn't be at the Ridge, but it was another. Oh, the one at the Ridge was Pearson and the KFC Hall, the big one. That was the best one. It was biggest, rather. Anyhow, they were good. They helped out good. They really turned out for us. And that comes to helping us out a lot. But the one at Chaptico, I guess I'm going to remember more than any. We had a pretty good-sized carnival in there, and they worked hard for it, the fire department. And in this carnival, they had a boxer, a fighter. And anyone who stayed in the ring with him, 3 rounds, would get $10. Well, a lot of people wanted to see that. And they tried to get somebody to take him on. Well, he was a Filipino boy. He wasn't too big. And nobody would take him on. Well, for $10, I thought to myself, I know I can stay in there for 3 rounds. And that was my mistake. I got in the ring. And the only way to get out of there was get knocked out, and I didn't like that. So I just did the best I could, covered up when I didn't like it, and fought back when I felt like it. Anyhow, I stayed in there and I got my $10, which the fire department got. But anyhow, that was some of the little funny things that happened to make a few dollars. Well, then we decided. That was doing pretty good. We were making a few dollars. They, in the middle of Leonardtown, is a, they call it Town Hall. I never did know exactly what it was. But anyhow, they had this Town Hall, and Kenneth Duke operated these silent pictures. He had big crowds. So I remember we asked him one time to help the company, would he let us have the hall, that hall, and we run a picture. We wanted to run a picture. And he said, sure. So I had seen it 2 or 3 times. And it was called the Fire Brigade. We advertised that thing, and that building wouldn't hold them. So, if I remember, he gave us 2 nights. Well, that's a good there. We decided that we had one more picture that I had seen, and it was called the Flaming Forest, which I always thought was one of the finest pictures that was ever made. It really showed what it means to fight a fire. Well, that went over big, so we had enough in to pay a little bit towards that new engine. Then, that did pretty good, so we decided, instead of having just little inside things in these town halls, that we would try one or two in the open, where it was a ballpark or something. Well, Mechanicsville had with the biggest one. So we decided that if we could get permission, we would run a carnival up there. Well, that wasn't any problem to get permission. Even in those days, we had people that if you'll get a carnival in a crowd, they'll furnish this, that, and the other to help the thing along, sideshows and all. So we picked out about 3 or 4 sideshows, and then we had a big six, and then we had a dice that you put in a cage and spin it, and we had some other games. Then and that we were making money, but we had one thing in there that caused us a little trouble. Somebody had a sideshow there with about 3 women in it. And what did they do? But, well, they took off enough clothes that it was objectionable. But their clothes then, they were fully dressed and compared to what you can see today. But anyhow, on television. But they went ahead and got the sheriff, and he come around and said, boys, for your own good, let's close that thing down. So we decided they'd have to give that man a go away, and which we did. Then the thing went on, and that's where we made a good piece of money out of that carnival. Well, that did so good that we decided, wait a minute. It was, that's such a good idea. Why don't we build a carnival down in Leonardtown? Well, boy, whoever brought that up got a hand. So we would go ahead and set a carnival up in Leonardtown, out in that upper part, the pie-shaped part. Well, mister, we had just about everything. And there's two men, in those days, though, slot machines were as important as a bathroom. So they started, and we had about every game. I never seen so many hot dogs. Of course, the drinks were out. It was prohibition. That's the first ones now of these carnivals.
There had to be something in the cars along the road or something.
And they decided that they were going to make some money, and we did. But it was two men I'd like to give credit for, because one of them in particular was one of the best donators and lived at the Ridge that Leonardtown, the fire company had. Now, wait a minute. And his name was Harry Hoke. He was one fine man. And the next one, slot machine operator, and between the two of them, they had every kind of slot machine from a 50 cent down to a penny. So everybody could afford it. One put their stand at one end of the park, and the other one was at the other end of the park. Of course, they were the two busiest stalls in in the carnival. So I wanted to bring out their names, because those men run the machines, and they run one for us down there, and I remember that week they dumped one jackpot. After all their playing, they dumped one jackpot, the rest of it was ours. So that was a...
Who was the other fellow? Harry Hoke and who else?
Lenny Coombs. Well, we kept on going with that and kept on going with that. Now, we go back to the old town hall. I think this is really interesting. Of all the things we did with those Dirty Dozen, as I used to like to call them, was somehow or other in this fracas, we had met a man that run the Gaiety in Barson City.
That was Jimmy Lake.
So, his name was Joe Turner.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I got so I knew him right well. And if I happened to be in Washington, I'd go around to the Gaiety, and he had an office in the back room there. And we talked, and I said, Joe, I wonder if we could have a wrestling match. He was a wrestler himself, and by the way, he was good. So he said, I don't see why not. Have you got a place you can have it? I said, yes, but it's not very big, but maybe get started in that. We can end up in a bigger buildings. He said, let me think about it, and when you're coming back up? I said, I'll come back up any time you want me to. And I said, I'll bring some of the other firemen along with me that see what they say. I'm not going to do it on my own. He said, let's do that. He said, I can make a dollar or two out of it, and then said, hoping that you can make a plenty. Well, we went see Kenneth again. Well, he didn't run movies every night. I think it was just on Friday and Saturdays or something like that. Anyhow, he said, go ahead. We talked with Joe. He said, by the way, I've got a good wrestler that belongs in St. Mary's County. He does a lot of wrestling for me. He's a lightweight, but he'll take on anything. He said, I'll bring him down. Maybe some people will know him. And I said, what's his name? He said, Long. I said, Long, it lives in, I think on the right-hand side, going towards Washington. But I don't know his first name, and I don't know his father's name. I said, well, that'd be a good advertisement. That's good. Anyhow, he said, I'll send down, I'll give you 3 bouts, and I'll run them. Well, we went back and brought it up for the club, or the firemen. Well, that went over big, because I think they wanted to get in on that, see it just as much as anybody else. But anyhow, we set it all up and got a ring made up and fixed up and everything. Well, Joe, all he brought down was the wrestlers and the mats, because we know where to get in the mats. Anyhow, we had these wrestling mats. And that place wouldn't hold people that wanted to see it. Well, Joe said he'd bring them back again next week. Well, that sounded good. Now we were getting to where we were making, because we could charge a little extra for this. And Joe wasn't robbing us, so we could go ahead and make a little bit of extra money. And goodness knows we needed it. And you see, all this time, we had one more thing in our mind. As soon as we get the people to back us, we wanted a new firehouse. Something with heat in it and maybe a head in it. So we decided we'd go ahead with that. Well, then we got into that and we started it. We had a lot of those things. We had an awful lot of wrestling. Then they decided they want to put some fights on. Well, I think every red-blooded man loves a fight. So we tried that. That worked. Now we were really getting to where we were making a little bit of money. Besides, some one or two good people helped us out with the donations. Well, that worked out real good. About this time, with that new engine, we decided that if they had another turnout in Baltimore, in Ocean City, or any of these places, that we wanted to get in on it.
Yeah, like a parade?
Parades and all. We wanted to get in on it. Well, the big one come up. It was in Baltimore. Well, if it was either spot on that engine that wasn't shining, I don't know where it could have been, even under the fenders. So, we got all ready to go to Baltimore, and I think every jack man wanted to go. We had to pay our own way, except the expenses of the gasoline and things like that. So we decided we're going to go. We rode up in Baltimore, and I wish I remember what street it was on, but we run into this firehouse and got talking with one of the chief. And we wanted to know where we could park this our new truck. He walked out and looked. He said, "That's a very brand new one." We all agreed with him. We all stand around it. So he said, "Look, for the next 2 nights, I'm going to have an empty stall. One of our engines is getting overhauled or worked on." And he said, "For the next 2 nights, if you want to, you can leave it here. Is that engine in working condition and all?" Of course it was. Hose, everything was on her. Well, we put in the fires. So the boy decided that there was no way. We didn't have... We were country boys. We didn't know how to get to where we could have a highball for supper. So we dumped the water out of the
booster tank,
and put a few jars, which were half a gallon jars, in the booster tank, wrapped them up, and set them in there. So each man that... one or the other of us would put one in a suitcase or something anyhow and take it to the hotel where we stayed, Lord Balmer. Then somebody decided that they'd done so good there, let us have this place and all, we were going to leave them a jar. And you know they didn't refuse it?
He didn't refuse the jar.
To leave his jar there. And anyhow... They were very good to us, and we had a nice trip, a real nice trip, because that was our first show-off. So, after that, we come on back, and I think we got I don't know whether we got a notation or, but anyhow, we got a very good hand up there, and we were very well pleased with. So, I told you some time ago that you had to have a little bit of fun. Well, I remember this fun because I guess it caused us a lot of trouble. It was McNay, Louis Edwards, and myself. We ran the firehouse one Sunday. It was a beautiful day, and I remember it well. That somebody had dropped a cur dog off around that firehouse, and somebody evidently fed it one time because you couldn't get it to go anywhere else. Stay right there. Sometimes you'd forget and lock it up in the firehouse, and that was bad. Mm. So this day, Sunday, we decided we'd get clear of that dog once and for all. Some of us went out and got a tin can, cut a hole in it, put some more stones in it, and tied it to that dog's tail. Well, that dog could run. And that dog ran across in front of the firehouse, and Dr. Greenwell and his family were sitting on his front porch, which was just about a foot off the ground, right on the corner, across where the railway store is right now. That dog went up on that porch, around through those chairs, and that was about the worst thing could ever happen. That man was hot-headed anyhow. So the only way that we could get away from that thing was to go out the back way of the firehouse. We had a back door. Go out the back door, cut across a lot there, go over to Louse Alley, turn left, go by Bell Motor Company, and then split up, one go one way, and then turn right, turn and left, and go back in Duke's back door, and stay in there for a while, and come out separately. Because he never found out. I think that would have been the end of Leonardtown Fire Department. That's just a little fun that I think might be interesting when I tell you that we had a lot of We had some fun as well as a heck of a lot of hard work. Now, I don't know how many firemen were married in that 11, but I think majority of them were. I'm not sure, but the women were getting a little bit upset. That was what was keeping them away from home and away from them. We were, if we had an hour or two off, we'd go around there and sit down sometimes. Some of the boys used to, never any gambling, but I remember they used to play games of pitch and things. And as I remember, they used to use matches just for fun. Well, anyhow, I think they were getting a little bit upset as to why we just didn't stay home. So one or two of them, I guess, got together, three or four maybe, and decided, let's find out what this all about. Let's start a ladies' auxiliary. And evidently, my wife was as jealous as anybody else of what was going on, because she was the first president of the ladies' auxiliary. Well, seemed like after that, she quieted down, and if manna ever come from heaven, then those women did, because they started that ladies' auxiliary. And in starting that, the money started coming in. And I don't think the firemen knew there was that much money in St. Mary's County. They started having suppers, they started having this, and my wife even, I was a bachelor for a long time until she got done crocheting a bedspread. And they raffled that off to make a dollar or two. So that's how those women worked. And as I know now, they're still doing the same thing for this company, the new companies. Well, the women then started bringing that money in. Then the men were bringing in theirs too. We put them all together. We had got to the point where we had a nice little income coming in. So we decided that 10 house wasn't big enough. So we thought of a way to get this new one, which is one there where the Knights of Columbus, I think, own now. We had our two bay. We had upstairs. And by the way, we had his in this one. And anyhow, we were getting to be a heck of a big company. So we were right, the men were right proud of what we accomplished. So we decided to go ahead and see what we could do about this new firehouse. To celebrate this new home, the women and the men had a party and a dance. Well, that was a pretty big turnout. We had an orchestra. And they were playing up a storm. Well, hearing that siren so many times, yours truly had got to the point that where he could mock that siren well enough to get people to pay attention. The music was going, and I decided to mock that siren. And when I did it, Mr. Harry Jones and George Hamilton, who were, I don't know what part they played in the fire department, but anyhow, they were wonderful people with we boys from the beginning until they died. Everybody, the men all run down, the farmer run down the stairs and open the doors and everything. And I made the mistake of not going downstairs. What did I do that for? Miss Charles Hamilton, Miss Jones, they picked it up right quick, both about the same time. One of them went over open up the window, and the other one was going to throw me out. So that was the fun of that little night at a celebration of the new house. And I don't believe any company was ever as proud of what they had accomplished when they got that house.
Yeah.
When we started building the new one, of course we had to remove the old one. But there was a concrete pad that from the road into the firehouse that we must evidently use all cement and no gravel because it was hard as it could be. Anyhow, it had to be removed so we could get the foundation and all for the new one. Well, some of the farm went in there, flew into it with sledgehammers, picks, shovels, and everything. They weren't even making a dent, hardly. Someone made a suggestion. There was a man named Waldorf. There was a dynamite expert. So we got in touch with him. He come down there and looked at it. And he said, well, I don't think you got much problem. We can break that concrete up. And someone asked him, well, if I had the windows and all around these places here, when it explodes, what's going to happen to the windows and the people's houses? They're not going to know anything about it. He said, all I want you all to do, find me some heavy canvas, and better than that, your mattresses. Bring them around here. Everyone you can find. It won't take long till this concrete will be on our truck and gone. So he laid that concrete, mattresses on top of that concrete after he put his dynamite under the concrete. He never shattered a window. I believe you could stood on that mattress. It would never jar you. Mm. He tore that thing up in about a couple of hours. He had that concrete ready to go away. Then we went in to build this new firehouse. And that's how that new firehouse got started. Now, some of these things that I've named like that, maybe it's not important, but to 11 men, that was something that had to be worked out, and they had done. Of course, after that, they built the new firehouse, I don't know where he come from or who he was. I do know his name. His name was Freeman. He come over there and gave us a price on that firehouse, what he would put it up for. He lived over at St. Clement Shores. Anyhow, he come over there. He built us that firehouse. We put heat in it. Two bathrooms, even had one for the women. And then, after that was done, we could have parties upstairs. We still working upstairs on these firehouses. Anyhow, we kept on going until after a while, we had earned our way. Now I'm going to jump from the frying pan into the fire and leave that firehouse. I'm going to go back to what I feel like as if I should give credit to the firemen and the men that run it, operated it, and made it what it was. Because if you can't prove yourself to other people, I don't think you're going to go very far. One time during the day, that siren went off. Every jack man that was anywhere he could get on that truck, the new one, Seagrave, piled around it and got on it. And it was a long run. When we ended up, they had a big fire in La Plata. It was a mill fire and a lumber yard and a called, I think it was called, La Plata Mill and Lumber Yard, right in the middle of La Plata. They didn't have a fire engine, but they did have town water. They had just put it in like Leonardtown had did. So when they called us up there, we went. They had just enough hose to get from the closest fire hydrant to the fire to get one little squirt of water. Well, we got up there, we had about as near as I could, I don't know how many feet of hose we had, but we had the one thing that was paid his debt. Was a Siamese, and a Siamese is something that you can put at the end of the first line of hose and add on another one or two or three. I think some of them go as high as three at that time. Anyhow, we got up there, we took another one, and we put in three of those, and that made four. We saved the lumber yard, we lost the mill, and then after it was all over with, they didn't have a fire engine. All they had was a truck with a few feet of hose on the back of it. After that, it wasn't long before one night, people from La Plata come down to our firehouse. I'm not sure which firehouse it was. Anyhow, yes I am. It was a new firehouse. They went over the equipment. Everything that we had. And they wanted one just like it. So we told them who the salesman was and everything. So he went up there and sold them exact replica of what our fire engine was. And I'd like to add one thing to that fire. I've never seen one before any better since than the way that those Leonardtown boys handled that fire. If it hadn't been for that, they would have lost all that timber, all that lumber. They would have lost at least four more buildings, and there was no way of stopping it. They did a beautiful job. And I think that is probably... There's no one living I know now that could say that that is probably the best piece of firefighting, as good as any piece that's ever been done in Southern Maryland.
Can I jump you back a minute? I don't know if I'm jumping back or forward. What was that ride you all took from Leonardtown to Hughesville?
Well,
what truck was that? Was that the first one?
I'm going to reminisce, if it's all right, the just about one or two more of the long rides, the long fights that we had to do in the beginning. There was not any more fire companies south. I'm not sure where, to be honest with you.
Probably Tennessee.
But I don't know that any fire companies south of Prince George County. Charles County didn't have one. We didn't have one up until this time. And then there were no other fire department in the districts of St. Mary's County except Leonardtown. I remember one night, just a mist. We had a call, Hughesville, which we ran an awful lot of fires to Hughesville. Now I look back, I wonder why they didn't start a fire department. But anyhow, we had a lot of calls up there, and one night we had a call to Archie Herbert's house. Those days, they didn't have high lines. They had Delcos and Kohlers.
That was supply electricity to his home.
They supplied electricity to the individual home. Well, Mr. Herbert, I guess a gasoline or something, that wasn't up to us to find that what started the fire. It was up to us to put it out. We left Leonardtown in a mist. It wasn't really cold, but it was a mist. No windshield, no protection. Put glasses on, and you were worse off than if you didn't have them. Louis Edwards driving shotgun, riding shotgun.
And you were driving.
And I happened to be driving that night. We made it in Hughesville on that old road, and I still don't believe it. But Louis clocked us. And we made that run in 22 minutes. And I don't believe any fire engine could have done any better. But anyhow, those boys got around. We saved that building, and we saved the building, which was only just a few, in its own, was just a few feet away from that building. So I consider Leonardtown could strut that that call. Now another one in Hughesville. There was a great big building up there. I imagine there's men today in Leonardtown, Hughesville, or somewhere around that can remember that building. Called Bowling Store. When you couldn't get meat anywhere else, you could stop by there, and I did it because meat you had to have these tickets. I would stop by there to get some meat if I work in that area and get meat. Well, that store caught a fire. No, I'm wrong. That store did not catch fire. It was a building in back of it that caught a fire. And it was so close to that building, when we got up there, it had started, and the farmer knows what, if weatherboards start smoking, look out. We got up there in time, somehow or other. We put what water we had in the booster tank and quieted that fire down until, and let the other building burn itself out until after that building was safe. And it was colder than the hinges of hell that day, and my hands were about frozen, and old man Bowling come out and gave me a pair of these jersey gloves. And I kept them for a long time. Yeah, because that was a present he gave me, because I stood up in back of a piece of tin and threw water on the side of his building to keep it from burning down. One of the biggest lessons that I learned in belonging to a fire department, as well in the military, is learn to take an order. One night, or one evening, that siren went off. We brought all the equipment we had, and I was driving the C grade. I parked it, tied it to the, hooked it up to the fire hydrant in front of the drugstore. Had everything going. Pressure on. Everything worked perfect. But they told me that the fire had started going up the steps in the courthouse. Well, standing there and listening to their engine purr, there wasn't much excitement to that. I wanted to get up there where the fire was. So I told one of the other men in there to watch this gauge, that gauge, and the other, and so forth, and take care of the engine. Van Dievener was the chief. The kindest, the nicest man. They wanted a mean streak in him. But when he got done with me and he saw me up there, that would come mighty near of being in of Dale Cropper being a fire department member. What name he didn't know call me has never been invented.
I would have left your post.
Anyhow, it ended up all right. I wasn't kicked out. But that's just one of the, I like to bring up once in a while some of these wonderful things that those boys did. Some of the runs that they made. And you know, there was no such a thing as a windshield. There were no such a thing as uniforms. And when you see those boys running down the street, hell-bent for election, try and get some clothes on. And did you ever try to button up 5 buttons in your breeches? You didn't have zippers. You had 5 buttons, and that lowest one would never button. And that is what I call being a fireman. So that's what I call being a fireman. In reminiscing, for 50-some-odd years, I would like to express my personal feeling toward the men. Not only did I belong in the fire department, but I grew up with them. They were men that were dedicated to what they thought was a good thing. It was a fire department. I own them. The privilege of knowing them. 10 out of 11 have answered their last call. I wish I could remember the odds and ends and the fun, the work, and the feeling, no windshield, but the ice and the snow, because that's when the fires were. And the men that made their last ride are all gone accepting. And I hope that what I have put on this tape will be something that maybe someday we'll start another fire company that can start with the name of Leonard Down Volunteer Fire Department and number one. Of men that have answered the call the best they know how.